Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 280, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 21, and just a portion of 2 Chronicles 5, verses 11 through 14. So we have here the ark is being brought into the temple, and of course the temple is the permanent structure to replace the portable tabernacle that the Israelites had when they were escaping captivity in Egypt and headed towards the promised land and in the wilderness for 40 years when they were wandering around. They have this portable tabernacle. If you've been listening to this for a long time, you already know that. But this is the permanent structure. So it's a big deal. It's something that David really wanted to do. He really wanted to build this for God. We know that he wasn't allowed to because he had shed too much blood. But that God told him his son, a son of his own, would build the temple. And so now we have Solomon as king, and he built the temple, he finished it, and now they are moving the Ark of the Covenant into that temple. So this is a big moment for the people of Israel. And as Solomon, you know, he's gathering the people here, not just to dedicate the temple, but also to rededicate the people of Israel to the Lord's service. Rededicate the priests, rededicate the Levites to their positions. And I don't know how active they were up to this point. Maybe this was like a renewal of sorts. Obviously it was, but I don't know how much the priests were doing up until this time. So they're definitely reestablishing their covenant with God that God made with Abram so many years ago and that God made with Moses. And you just gotta love it. So now, you know, what's cool about this too is that all the men of Israel, they assemble before King Solomon at the annual Festival of Shelters. Now, I talk about that a lot, and I mean, whenever we come across it, I just say it's the when they go camping once a year. And that's true, but I'm just going to, my study Bible gives a good description of that just for our own reminder of exactly what the Festival of Shelters is, because it's cool that they do it at the time of this dedication. So it celebrated God's protection of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness before entering the promised land. The purpose of the annual festival was to renew Israel's commitment to God and their trust in his guidance and protection. The festival beautifully coincided with the dedication of the temple. And as the people remembered the wanderings in the wilderness when their ancestors had lived in tents, they were even more thankful for the permanence of this glorious temple. So you gotta love that. So then the priests take it into, and it had to be specific priests, remember, the Levites, portions of the specific tribes within the Levite, or specific clans within the Levite tribe, were tasked to carry the golden, the lampstand, the table, all of these things into the holy place. And then only specific Levite priests were allowed to carry the poles, which held the Ark of the Covenant. And they moved that into the most holy place. Now that's interesting because typically only one person was allowed in the most holy place, and that would be the high priest. So this was an exception. In order to move the ark into that place, those Levites got to glimpse something that they had only heard about before. So it must have been quite an honor, quite a hefty proposition to be allowed into that room. How glorious. I mean, it was coated with gold. You know, it was just beautiful and holy, and God was present there. And I love how it says, when the priests came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Wow. Now I remember when Moses was in the tabernacle in the most holy place, and that's how God spoke to him. He was a cloud. He appeared above the Ark of the Covenant in a cloud or smoke, or I forget how it was explained, but that's how God spoke to Moses. And so here we have just a reviving of that relationship with God coming down and living among his people in that way. So I love it. Okay, so most of 2 Chronicles chapter 5 I did not read because it was pretty spot on with 1 Kings 8. However, verses 11 through 14 were not. Actually, before, it was kind of inserted after the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant into the most holy place. And then it was after that and before the priests could not continue their service because the clouds of the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. There was something added in 2 Chronicles. And here it is. So the Levites, who were musicians, Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites, who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers, were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: He is good, His faithful love endures forever. So that was added in hindsight. You know, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, those were written later. After the account, after hindsight, and they were able to kind of clarify and present the significance as it relates to their spiritual history. And so here, I love that they added this part because it's important. It talks about how, I mean, it gives you a sense of just how big a deal this was. There was all these priests, even if they weren't on duty. This wasn't something they did out of because they were on duty and they had to. This was something they were excited for. This was a big deal. And they, all these musicians, all these praising, these people raising their voices in praise. Can you imagine having been there? What a wonderful celebration that would have been. And just the joy of the Lord and just joy of, this is the climax of the story. Jesus is the climax of the story, but really, this is a big moment because, you know, God had promised to deliver them out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. Here they are in the city of Jerusalem, in the promised land that God had promised, and now they're setting up a permanent structure, and they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the most holy place. This is a pinnacle moment. So it's beautiful. Okay. Then Solomon prayed, O Lord, you have said that you will live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever. Then Solomon said, this is 1 Kings 8, verse 17. My father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, you wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention was good, but you are not the one to do it. One of your own sons will build the temple to honor me. So Solomon really, he's reminding the people of the story of how this came to be. God, he never specifically chose the city, but he did choose King David to be king over the people of Israel. And now this is the fulfillment of his promise to David. This is his covenant with David that he made, that, you know, his son would be on the throne, and that this is his son would, not that his son would be, well, his son would be on the throne because someone from David's line, David knew that that would lead to the Savior. He didn't know that the Savior's name was Jesus, but he did know that there would be a Savior in his family tree. And so here we have Solomon just reminding the people of how God fulfills his covenant, his promise to the people. Okay, sorry I got interrupted there for just a minute, but so now, well, let me just say, the last verse in this reading, chapter 8, verse 11, says, "There I have placed the ark, which contains the covenant that the Lord made with the people of Israel." The covenant is the, I guess, the covenant that the Lord made with the people of Israel. Okay, so the two stone tablets we know are the items that are in the Ark of the Covenant, and they have God's law. And we know that the covenant is God said, basically, if you follow my laws, I will walk among you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will protect you. I will guide you. My study Bible makes a good note. I liked this, and I wanted to share it with you. In closing, so it says, for 480 years after Israel's escape from Egypt, God did not ask his people to build a temple for him. Instead, he emphasized the importance of his presence among them and their need for spiritual leaders. It is easy to think of a building as the focus of God's presence and power, but God chooses and uses people to do his work. Building or enlarging our place of worship may be necessary, but it should never take priority over developing spiritual leaders. Remember, God's people, we are the church. And so it is important, the relationship, the fulfillment of the law, the passion that we live for Christ, and the way that we serve him and the way that we love him and the way that we want to live a life that pleases him, and the way that we accept forgiveness, all of that comes from within. So it doesn't matter. Yes, for practical reasons, sometimes we need bigger buildings or whatever, but it's not the most important thing. So, you know, we could praise God, we could have a huge assembly of believers in the middle of an open field, but so just to put it in perspective, this is a beautiful, holy temple, but obviously we don't need to go there to praise God, we don't need to go there to speak to God, because we are the church, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, so we have access to God anytime. Thank you, Jesus. So really, that's a beautiful way to end that, but that's it for today. Sorry, I haven't been real consistent lately. This week is VBS, so it's wonderful. My church, every night this week, we've had hundreds of kids pouring in, and I've been working with the first graders, and they're a wonderful bunch of kids, really good kids. We've had a lot of fun, but it'll wear a person out, just saying. So anyways, I know God is doing great things in those kids and in our church, and I just love to be a part of it. So sorry, my son is making a lot of noise. I'm going to go. That's sort of just the way my life is right now. I'm never alone right now. That's it for today. Hope you all have a great day. I'll talk to you soon.